Shavua Tov world. Today's daf and the second adorim is daf and vav, and just to get back into things, why don't we start from the actual Mishnah, just to be a nice review, even though we actually finished the Mishnah on Erev Shabbos. So, Hashutafim shenadru hana'aze mizeh, asurim nikanes lechatzer. So, if you have two people who own a property as a partnership, and they each have rights to a chatzer, if they each answer the other one with a neder, then neither of them are allowed to go in to the jointly owned property. Whereas Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov Omer, it doesn't make any sense. Zenichnas l'toch shelo, zenichnas l'toch shelo. So remember that the way the Ran learned this and the way that we explained it according to the Ran was that essentially, as the Gemara comes out elsewhere, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is relying on the issue of Brera. Because, look, it doesn't really make sense for two people to own the same thing. How does that kind of shutafut work? So there's two possibilities. Either anyone can use it when they want to, because at that point they are the ones who actually own whatever they're using. How does that happen? It only happens because we believe that at the time that you made the original kinyan for the shutafut, it was with that understanding that whatever turns out to be the need of each shutaf is included in the original agreement. Well, that requires Brera for us to have a retroactive understanding of an agreement, but that must be the way that it works, as Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, in which case, how can you possibly asur me from going into my own area? That doesn't make any sense. And the Chachomim say, well, since we don't hold of Brera of any kind, therefore, the only way that it would work would be that each person owns a half, plus he owns also an easement on the other person's half, in which case he has a she'ibud to be able to utilize, as she would on that person, to be able to utilize the other half. Problem is that konamot are mafkim ide she'ibud, and therefore, if that person answers him, then he basically is taken away that individual's rights, even though they were guaranteed by contract. Of course, I mean, he'll be sued and I'll have to make up for it, whatever. But the point is that Konam is similar to Hegdesh, and therefore it messes him up in this way. So according to the Rabbanan, it would mean that the netter would be chum, because it isn't really yours. As to how it is that we paskin, and generally speaking, that there is no Brera in a deraisa, which was what we're dealing with. And over here, we're saying that there is Brera. This, as the Ran explains, is not a normal Brera. Over here, the ownership is clear from the beginning. We don't really have a suffix in the Etzem Kinyan. We just have the question of the variance of who is owning it at what point. That is a detail that is considered not to be a suffix in the Kinyan, but is simply considered to be a non-determinate point. And a non-determinate point can be decided by Brera, even if, generally speaking, you don't know the Brera. That's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov's understanding, according to the Ran. Mishneim asurim, however, anything that would normally be a utilization of the chatzar on something that is not legally enforceable, but is accepted as usage because nobody wants to get into fights with the neighbors, and that would be called vitur. But we don't allow vitur, as we saw in the opening of the prayer before. So shneim asurim la'amid rechayim v'tanur v'legadel tanegolim, things that you would normally not complain about, now you cannot do because both of you have been asurim by the other ones. How about if one of the people was asurim by now and the other one? Ayah achad mihem mudar hana'a michaviro. Lo yikanes l'chatzer. That individual can't go into the chatzer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, why not? He could say, I'm going into my own part. L'toch sheli ani nichnas l'toch shelcha. I'm not going into anything that's yours. In a case where there is one person that is mutter, one person that is aser, then we force the person who made the netter, Bapashas, that means he made the netter to aser himself. We're going to see about this in today's Gemara. Kofen is hanoder limkoret chelko. He, because of the fact it's so easy to be nichshal, because the other person is using it and he isn't, he may come to use it. And because of that, we force him to sell his part. How about in a case where someone is winner on Omi Chaviro, And yesh lo merchatz ubeit habat muskarim ba'ir. So he has a property, but he rented out this property. Now, if he rented out the property, then it isn't his. Perhaps. It depends. So im yesh lo bem tvisas yad osur, en lo bem tvisas yad mutar. So we talked about the different possibilities of what tvisat yad means, which we're going to see more of. So tvisat yad, the pashtus of tvisat yad that everybody would be made of without any further discussion, is that he owns part of the business. In other words, if he's a partner in the business, so then, of course, it's still his, even if he's got somebody else operating it and who's paying him rent, but he's taking the profits. But what about if it's a rental agreement that if you make more money than X every month, then the rent goes up, or I get a proportion of that for higher rental because it's turned out to be such a valuable property. So that's not quite ownership. So there's a question whether that's considered to be tvisas yad. And as we'll see, based on two different girsaot in the Gemara that we're going to talk about today, the question also, if I have rights to a locker room or to a place where I keep things, that is also considered to be a tvisas yad. You're still coming into my rishus. All to be discussed later on. So then, but if Elam tvisas yad, I don't know who read me note 11 is, but whoever he is, can you please mute yourself? Who are you, Red Me, anyway? I used to know. And I can't remember now.
Shmoo? Yes.
Why don't you put your name on it? Or put your picture on it? Okay. There we go. That looks a lot better than Red Me. So, what about if he's not making anything at all, so then it would be mut. Now, here's the difference between the language. It's your house. From you. So then if the guy dies and someone else has inherited it, if he sells it to somebody else, then he would be mutar. But in the event that he says, couldn't buy it, then it would be asur. So this was something that we discussed at length earlier, and we're going to take a look again based on the Gemara on this Mishnah to be medayik, whether a person can answer something after it goes out of his rishus. We'll analyze that from our Mishnah. So now the question is like this. Question is the machlokas, how to understand this. There are two, it hasn't been very clear in the Mishnah who asered on whom, correct? Does it make a difference who the one, in this case, the first case, obviously, they says they're both us. But did each one make an error on themselves? That would be called noder. He's a noder. He took an error on himself to asur on himself the property of this guy, right? So over there, maybe there, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, I should say, and the Rabbanon argue, because the Rabbanan say, listen, if a guy wants to mess up his life by doing stuff like that and answering himself, so then, what are we looking for ways for him to get out of it? He wants not to be nana, let him not be nana, the heck with it. So that would mean that we don't really disagree fundamentally about whether there is a concept of Brera that would actually allow him to be nana because it's really his own. What we're doing is we're being kind to him. We're saying a person who is trying to usher himself on things, let him be usher. What do we got to come to his aid and point out that we can use Brera to be materin? So is the machlokas with Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan really a fundamental machlokas about whether we can use Brera in this case, or is it a question about whether we want to just use a heavy hand on people that are ushering themselves? Mashenkin, if the other person ushers, each one ushering the other one, then each one of them, it's not my fault. Why is it my fault that he ushered me? So now I got to know, can I go into my part of the property or not? Of course, the Rabbanu would be made that there's the mechanism. Yes, they don't agree with the normal din of Brera. But remember, as the Ran has explained, this is not a typical Brera. So maybe in this case, the Rabbanu would be made this type of Brera really meekra din was kosher. The only reason we said it was usher in the Mishnah was because these freaks are ushering themselves like this on property that should be theirs. We don't like that. We've seen that many times. The Rabbanan go very heavy-handedly on people that use these kind of Nedarim loosely like this. Okay, so that is certainly a possibility, but it would be very different than the way that the Gemara comes out elsewhere, that actually the whole machlokas is in terms of Brera. This would be saying machlokas is not in terms of Brera. And the technicalities of Brera, they're both agreed on. So I would want to know, I mean, perhaps if each one was madir the other one, hidiru zetze, what would be the din? I mean, is it possible, mi'amrinan b'nadru, to please? Only they each accepted a neder on themselves. So over there, the Rabbanan say, look, we don't want to allow him to go in here, but it's basically a kanasa. But Bidira said, so it's not his fault. Maybe the Rabbanan invited literally Ezra and Yaakov that they're like Anusim. I mean, it's not my fault that the guy was so mean. He's trying to ask me my own property. So Miikra didn't. We don't let somebody ask someone else on their property. Why should we? And if there's any way out of it, which there is, because we really, according to this approach, even the Rabbanan really agreed to the Brera of this special sort, which is the way that Ravina explains it elsewhere, that when it comes out of Baba Kama, they don't hold of Brera Bichla, you know, and even this kind of Brera, and it's not because of a Knas. Can we be Medayik from the Mishnah, whether we're talking about in a case even where each partner was Madir the other one, not Noder himself? Well, I mean, take a look at the next piece. Well, the next piece in Mishnah says, Hayachad miyam mudar hana amichaviro. Mudar. Now, mudar means not noder, right? Mudar means someone else put the netter on me. That means it wasn't my fault. This guy ushered me from coming into my chotzer. So that wouldn't be the reason the Rabbanan said, we're going to usher you because you acted stupidly. I didn't do anything. In the first case, I understand, you could say if two people that own a property as a partnership, they can't get along to the point where they're both answering you. I mean, that's crazy. But over here where one person was locked out, I mean, is that, you know, you could have come after me? You know, go after him. So apparently, the Rabbanan were machmir, even where somebody else made the neder on me. Now we're neder on myself. I don't know. I mean, the Mishnah may actually be using the term mudar as nadur. I mean, remember, mudar ana'ah doesn't have to mean that somebody else did it. It means there was a netter on me. Usually, if we'd want to say that the person himself made the netter, to make it clear, we would say haya nadur. But, I mean, you can't say, I'll prove to you that it doesn't mean that you made the netter yourself because it says mudar. This may just be a loose usage of the word mudar, but certainly can also include nadur. I don't think you're being right from it. As a matter of fact, I think that even though you're going to say I'm pushing it where I say it should be nadur, but it makes sense that it should be nadur. You know why? Because take a look at the next piece of the mission. Next piece of the mission says, kofin et hanoder limkar et chelko. We're going to force the guy to sell his chelek in the chotzer. I mean, if he was the one who made the netter, so then that makes sense. Look, if you're going to keep acting like an idiot, and this is what you want to do, and we're worried that you're going to end up being machal your netter, so then, you know, sell. That's all. Either go and get your netter heter from a chacham, or sell, because we don't allow people to make nedarim where they're going to come to be machal the netter. So, but that only makes sense if he was the one who made the neder. Okay, it's very understandable that we should say that we force him to sell in order to avoid being mechal of the neder. You know, but if you're going to tell me that the Mishnah is talking about a case that somebody else put the neder on him, and that then what, we're going to force him to sell because somebody else is trying to keep me out? Does that make sense? I mean, it doesn't make sense at all. So therefore, it must be that we were right. And that what I said that you said, I mean, sounds to me like, you know, you're just trying to read in that Nadur is the real meaning of mudar, but it isn't. No, you see that bedavka it has to be. Because if the guy is minas anis, why in the world would we be able to say that he should sell? Now, of course, the question is, maybe then the Mishnah says kofinata noder, maybe it means we'll force the other guy, right? Maybe that's the point. In other words, you're trying to aser me. You want to put me in this mashma of this situation of where he's not going to be allowed to use his property, and he's going to come to be nichshal in it. So then let's force him to sell, the guy who made the neder. So you move out. You don't want the guy to be neder, so move out. You know, sell it to somebody else. Maybe that's the pshat. So the pashtus of why that's not the pshat is because it seems to be an overreaction. In other words, for the Besdin to force a guy to sell out because he made a net, I mean, that's like, it's getting into things that are really, I mean, it's not ad kedei kach that it's your business. But what's amazing is that it's exactly what the Rambam says. The Rambam says that the one that we forced to sell is the one who made the neder, right? Now, the basis of the Rambam is, in fact, the Yerushalmi. And according to the whole approach of the Yerushalmi, which the Ravid is the one who points out that this is the Yerushalmi, but it goes against the sugya over here, that nonetheless, the Rambam paskins that it means that we would, in fact, be asering the Madir to stay there. So, I mean, it's interesting that the Ran brings that there is actually a mocker in the Tosefta for people who constantly make problems with Nedarim. So if this guy is in the habit of ossering someone, so then we do this kind of thing to him. Yes. So we're kofin harogil, the person who does this often, we force him to sell out someone else. So that all of these people that he's trying to osser should be, you know, okay, because that way he sold out. Oh, my Rabbi. Okay, so basically, we have what appears to be the way that we understood the Mishnah, appears to be reasonable, despite the fact that we haven't been able to prove it. So we tried to say that that's what it means. So we changed the Lashon of the Mishnah. But anyway, that's how we end up paskening. Omar Rabba, Omar Zeiri, Machloket, B'sheyesh ba'kedei chalukah. Now this is a completely different approach than what we have. The approach that we come out with is the exact opposite. But the way that we're trying to understand it now, according to Zeiri, is that the whole machlokes, that the reason that the Rabbanan aser and they say ein breira, is not because theoretically this type of breira is not doable. It's because since the chotzer has a din of chalukah, then that would mean that at any moment, one partner can force the other partner to split by saying, either you sell out to me, or then you have to split it the way that I want it. That's the godo agud, right? Which forces them to be cholek. Now, if that's the case, then that means that I can't use breira. Because what's the breira going to be? Remember, how does this breira work? The fundamental kinyan is done without breira. And then we've got this indeterminacy. But over here, the fundamental kinyan itself is still besupak. Because I can't say that what I'm doing right now is I'm buying something which is definitely belongs to me and that belongs to you. And we're just trying to utilize the various times that are sitting here indeterminately. I can't say that because it isn't true. But do you know that tomorrow it's going to be open to you to use? No. Maybe the guy will say, go to Agud, and he'll force you to be machalik. So therefore, if that's the case, if it has a din chalukah, then you can't say that at the moment of the purchase, it was clear that all that's left open is the when. That's not true. The whole kinyan is left open. I don't know whether this is going to be a partnership in the end. And therefore, that's where the Rabbanan say it's Osir and that Ein Breira. But if Ein Badin Chaluka, so then how do we understand two people? What are they insane? They're buying something that they can't define as belonging to either of them? Oh, no, of course. Over there, they do define it at the time that they buy it. And that is the Ron's indeterminacy principle, Benogea Breira. Nobody argues on that idea. So this approach is the exact opposite of the approach that we used when we explained the Mishnah. It's going to end up that it's not the approach that we stick with, but this is Zairi's approach. So according to this, there's no machlokas in the event that it's Ein Badin Chaluka. Now, the thing is that Rav Yosef proves that that's not true. Because we have the Mishnah later on about a Beit HaKnesset. And over there, a Beit HaKnesset, what happens when two people answer each other and there's a Beit HaKnesset in town? It's a small town. Everybody owns a piece of Beit HaKnesset. So it says over there, neither of them are allowed to use the Beit HaKnesset. So Hare Beit HaKnesset, there's certainly no way to say, go to Beit HaKnesset. You know, I'll take row 3 and you take row 1, seat number 6. I mean, that's ridiculous. So you don't have a Beit HaKnesset. So that's not Yesh Badet Kidei Chaluka. You can't force people to split the Beit HaKnesset up into all of its seats. And nonetheless, now according to Zairi, if it's Ein Badin Chaluka, then that means that there should be no problem and everybody is minded to Rabbi Yezir ben Yaakov, right? That's what Zairi said, according to Rabbi. Now, it says Beferish in the Mishnah later on that the halacha is Shneim Asurim B'davar Shelo Tahair, and that includes, as it says Beferish there, the Beit HaKnesset of the city. So since it's a shutafut in this small town for everyone, neither of them are allowed to use it. So you see that a neder asers, according to the Chachamim, even where it's lespad in Chaluka. In which case, we can't say what Zairi was saying. Rather, the opposite, Tainas Rav Yosef, is true. And that was what Zairi really said. You got confused. Ela Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Zairi, Machlokas She'ein Ba Kedei Chaluka. The problem is that there, if Ein Ba Kedei Chaluka, the Rabbanan are saying, you know what, even if Ein Ba Din Chaluka, we don't hold of Breira at all, like Ravina said in Baba Kama. Even this kind of semi-Breira that the Ran tries to exclude from the standard Breira, we don't even hold of that. And there, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, no, that's not really called Breira, because the main idea of the Kenyan was actually defined at the time of the Kenyan. But if Yesh Badin Chaluka, so in that case, what are you going to say? That they bought it with the understanding that they both own it, and we need only determine when this one's time is and this one's time is. It's not true. Because if Yesh Badin Chaluka, then tomorrow morning, the guy may come and say to you, listen, either you split it or you sell it out. So what are you going to say? Well, what do you mean? We bought it with an understanding that when I need to use it, I use it. It's not true. We never had an understanding like that, because we bought a property that was Yesh Badin Chaluka, and you knew perfectly well that I could at any point, just as you could, force that Chaluka. So in that case, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov would agree. I can't say over here that we rely on Breira, because that would be a real Breira, which even I agree is not usable midiraisa. So this is what Zairi must have meant. And that makes sense, that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is saying in that case, if it's a chotzer sheyesh badin chaluka, so then it couldn't have been done on the basis of the understanding that it's actually been defined at the time of the Kenyan, because it has not been so decided. So what's interesting is, as Big Machlokas was showing him about what happens if they do a chaluka. So, okay, so they go ahead and they do the chaluka. Now, I mean, you would think if they did a chaluka, everything would be A-okay, right? And in fact, the Rambam says, yes, of course, if they do the chaluka, so then at that point, each one is able to do what he wants. It's all his own chelek. Why wouldn't it be? But the Rashba says that no, actually, even if they do the chalukah, it would be usher. Because what would it be that could allow me to do this? It would be a mechira. Because the chalukah is like mechira. I could prove it to you. Because the din is that ha'achim shechalku, we paskin, they have a din of lekuchot. So then that means these guys have a din lekuchot. But remember, even though we said you could sell it to somebody else, you can't sell it to him. So that would mean that once you made that, even if you're now saying, okay, we each have our own part, it's not going to help you because it was from me that you got it to be your own part. So therefore the Rashba Tainus that, okay, so it doesn't matter. That means that it's going to be usher according to everybody in that situation, no matter what happens. That's incredible because we hold Ein Breira, Achim Shekoko Alakuchai saying, and therefore it should be usher. And we said that if you give it to them directly, mochra lo, even where he said konen beitcha, if you sell directly to him, then it's considered to be usher. And Rambam says beferish, hayu shneihem shutafim b'chatzer, im yesh bo din chaluka re'el asurin ad shiachaloku. The moment that they're chalek, at that point, it would obviously be fine. V'yikaneis kol echad v'yechad l'chalko. So how does he explain that? Even though you paskins b'diraisa in Brera, and even though he paskins that I can't sell it to you, where he asked b'itcha, sell it to a third party, and then you can get it, but I can't sell it to you. So the Ron suggests that, you know, what the Rambam must be soimich on is that it just doesn't make any sense. In other words, the minimal understanding of people that enter into a partnership of this kind is that it was understood between them as Dover Pashat that none of them, neither of them, should be able to answer it in a way that they can't use it even after Chalukah. That's ridiculous. So in other words, part of the original understanding was that this is the basis of the Pashat partnership, in which case, I'm coming to ask for something that is really yours. I mean, that's what I had to, what you had purchased from me that I sold to you was that I will not be able to answer it on you. So that doesn't matter. That's why the Rambam properly paskins that this is different from the standard mechira because it started off with an understanding of a shutafut. Okay. Now we go on to the next piece of the Mishnah. So the next piece of the Mishnah talks about having part of a whatever a tvisas yad is. You have a tvisas yad in this bathhouse or in this Beit Habad, and you are still part of the business. So if you're making money off of this business, then obviously the fact that you leased out the business to somebody else who is running it and is also making profit, but he's sharing profit with you. Oh man, of course you're still the owner. That's not a question. But how much? I mean, maybe even a tiny percentage of the profit? How much is considered to be part of the profit? Kama tvisas yad. So as we mentioned, a lot of you weren't here at the beginning of the daf tonight, but as we mentioned earlier when we learned the Mishnah, if you have a actual constant income from the profit, then we can ask this question. The question is whether if the income is based on a certain rough. In other words, anything beyond such and such an income, I would get part of. Now, over there, it could be understood as a difference in the rental price rather than as a real share in the profits, as we spoke about in the Mishnah. But certainly, if you're a mamish, a partner in the business, that there's no question on. The only question is, how much? So I'm Rav Nachman, well, you'd have to be a serious partner. I mean, you know, a half, a third, a quarter, I mean, not some small tiny percentage, we're over there, we could also view it as just an additional part of the rental. Avla bebatsir, lo. Less than that, that's not considered to be a partnership. Bayomar fil bebatsir also. Less than that is also. Now, I mentioned to you when we learned the Mishnah tonight that there are two girsaot. And it's a very funny girsa, but the girsa of the Rif is not bebotzir, but rather bebitzim. Now, not Beitzim, Beitzim. So the meaning of Beitzim is that this guy basically he's got a storage place. He's an artist, you know, who makes he makes these clay cheres. The clay cheres begins with a bitza, with just a piece of clay, and then you work it and so on, right? So he's got a storage place in there for his bitzim, which is really a strange lotion. I mean, mapitom bitzim, you know, and I mean, not to
mention, avoid him. Yes, avoid him.
Yeah. So, okay, but as I said, you know, the Tiferes Yisrael brings both as being the same. It's not so pasha. But okay. So Abai Amar Afilo Bibitzim, according to this, would be Osir. But if that is the Girsa, that it's Bibitzim, then the next piece doesn't make that much sense, because then what's the Gemara's kasha? So then Hechidami Deshari. So then how would it be mutter? So okay. What is that? What do you mean? How is it mutter? Well, you don't have bitzim. The girsa doesn't really add up to the bitzim, you know. So it would have to be going back to the beginning, you know. So what would you mean? I mean, what is so hard to understand? What do you mean? Where I don't have a chelek in the half of the income. Okay. So, but what is considered to be a case where it's completely mutter? So the way to understand, if you want to have the girsa, the way to understand this might mean taking into consideration the Mefarsh's approach to this, the Mekabel Betaska. So Mekabel Betaska would mean, according to the Mefarsh, that, you know, that it goes under Rashi over here, is that he is paying the taxes. So if he's paying the taxes, so then it's not considered to be an actual part of the business. Okay. You know, because oftentimes rent includes paying certain taxes as part of the rent, you know. But, I mean, the pashtus of the Tosca is that he's not taking a percentage, but rather he's taking a certain amount, and it's kavua. It's always kavua. Now, this is also something of a problem, because the meaning of taska elsewhere is that it provides for you a, I think the closest thing in English would be, what did they used to call the arrangement in New York? So it'll come to me in a minute. Cooperatives. You know, where you, in other words, you get a right to live in that apartment forever, as long as you're paying X amount towards the cooperative. That's usually what the meaning of Mekabel Betaska would mean. And in that event, what would happen is that you have permanent rights there. And the only way you would lose those permanent rights would be if you don't pay your minimal approach. So the Ron brings that there are those who learn that that would be the only case. He doesn't like this pshat at all, because remember that the Ron's approach is that any type of schirud, even though I have the theoretical ability to get rid of you, any type of schirud, even real schirud, I can always answer the schirut on you. Remember, that was the Ron's diak from the way that he understood the Mishnah in the first place. If I have a lien on you to be able to use it, so the only way that it works, according to the Ron, remembers that Konam is Mafkia the Shibud. But then if that's the case, then Konam should be able to be Mafkia the Shibud from a renter. Because a renter isn't a real owner. It's just that basically he has a lien against you for the use of the property. So that would mean if you would answer the property, so then Lechora, he would have to lose his right to rent. He'd sue you, obviously, and you'd have to pay him or whatever. But basically, it doesn't make sense to say that there's a difference between a permanent rental and a rental where you're getting a yearly rent and so on. It's exactly the same. according to the way the Ran learns it. So the question of how then is still a little bit problematic. What do you mean, how then? Just say, I'm not participating in the profits. Don't know. I don't know how to explain that according to either Girsa in a way that is really understandable.